We're just going to spend some time looking at Elisha's call to the ministry. And so I want to spend some time on what the Bible says and learn some things, see some things about the call to the ministry, the call to preach, and see what the Bible has for us and what the Lord has for us this morning. And I trust it'll be a blessing and be a help in some way. So let's just have a word of prayer. Appreciate you praying for me, that the Lord would help me this morning. And let's pray for each other and that the Lord's will be done. Heavenly Father, we do bow before you this morning, my Lord, and I'm thankful for your tender mercies and your great kindness. And thankful, Father, for your many blessings. And my Lord, as I come before you this morning, I come before you in need of the enabling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray and we ask that your perfect will would be accomplished today. And my Lord, I pray that you'd help each and everybody that's here. And Lord, would you be pleased to speak to them and minister to them, meet the needs that they have. Help us, Lord, from your book. Pray that you'd speak to us and help us today. I do pray for the church at Sunshine Baptist Church out at Clounder at home. Pray you'd be with them down there, meet the needs in the services and help them. And Lord, we just ask your blessing upon our time together. May it be time well spent. May it be honoring and glorifying to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you've got your Bibles open to 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read from verse 9 down through the end of the chapter. 1 Kings 19. Our reading will be from verse 9 down through verse 21. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Well, it wasn't quite true. That's how he felt, but it wasn't true. And you know, sometimes that is how it feels, but it is not true. You're not alone. The Lord has his people. Verse 11 says, And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return unto thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimeloah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. See, Elijah thought he was all alone, but there were 7,000 still in Israel. All the knees which have not bowed under Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. So he departed thence and found, and this is our passage here, this is what I want you to notice. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him, and took a yoke of oxen, and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, and ministered unto him. We see here in the last three verses, we see Elisha's call to the ministry, and that's sort of where I want to focus in, and we'll be going a few other places in the scriptures and looking at the principle of the call to the ministry and what the scriptures has to say about this call into the ministry and to full-time special service for the Lord. Now, when it comes to the calling of God, God calls us to salvation. Amen. The only reason you're saved this morning is because God called you to salvation. And if you're lost this morning and you need to be saved, you'll only be saved as God calls you to salvation. Matthew 9 and verse 13 says, "But ye go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So those of us that are sinners that have come to repentance, God's called us to repentance. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And then 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14 says, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel." The gospel calls us to salvation. God calls whosoever will to be saved. And he calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm glad that God calls. And we see in our text, we notice there when God was looking to speak to Elijah, first there was the wind, and then there was the earthquake, and then there was the fire. And the voice of God wasn't in any of that, but it was the still small voice. And a lot of times we look for the big explosions and the big happenings and the big signs and the fireworks and the neon sign all flashing. And God's not always in those. I'm not saying he's never in that, but a lot of times you'll hear the voice of God when you can get yourself in a quiet, still place and just quietly listen to the still, small voice of the Holy Spirit. So he calls us to salvation, but he also calls us to special service. And we see that in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 4, it says that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here am I." And you may remember, for the sake of time we won't look at it, but you may remember the Lord when Samuel was there in Eli's house and the Lord called him and he went running into Samuel and he went running into Eli and he said, "What is it?" And he says, "No, I didn't call you." It was the Lord calling him. And the Lord called Samuel. In Isaiah 6 and verse 8, with Isaiah, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Elijah was called, so as Samuel was called. And then over in the New Testament with Paul, we find in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And so Paul, he was called to salvation. We remember that on the road to Damascus. But then God also called him to be an apostle. And so God doesn't only call us to salvation, but God also calls to special service. Whichever it is, whether it be the call to salvation or whether it be the call to special service, both of them are, number one, a high calling. It elevates you. When God saved you, he took you from a sinner to a saint. He elevated you. He elevated me. It's a high calling. We find that in Philippians 3 and verse 14. It says, "I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Not only is it a high calling, but it's a holy calling. And we find that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling." Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God didn't call you to salvation because you're something special. He called you to salvation by his grace and for his purpose. And God doesn't call you to special service. He doesn't call you into the ministry. He doesn't call you to preach because there's something special about you. It's just by his good grace. And that's the way it works. So not only is it a high calling, a holy calling, but it's also a heavenly calling. In Hebrews 3 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." So whether it's the call to salvation or whether it be the call to special service, God's calling is a high calling, a holy calling, and a heavenly calling. Now, if you go with me back to our text, if you're there in our text, that's just all some introductory thoughts about the calling of God. But let's have a look at our text now in 1 Kings chapter 19. And I want you to notice, starting in verse 16, and we're going to notice five things this morning, five things about Elisha's call to the ministry. Number one, when Elisha was called to the ministry, it was a sovereign call. Point number one, sovereign. It was a sovereign call. Now, don't curl up your toes and get all antsy about being a hyper-Calvinist or anything like that. The sovereignty of God's in the Bible. And God is a sovereign God. And we don't have to run it into a ditch, as a hyper-Calvinist does, but God is sovereign. He is the ruler, the supreme ruler. There is none above God. And Elisha's calling came from a sovereign source. It came from God. Notice it in verse 16. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king of Israel. And notice this, it says here, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimeloah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. Elijah didn't call Elisha. God called Elisha. It's not the parent's job to call their son into the ministry. It's not the pastor's job to call a young man into the ministry. It's not the church's job to call a young man into the ministry. It's a sovereign call. The call comes from God himself. I remember when I got that calling to be saved. I was sitting in a church on a Wednesday night. Brother Al was preaching, and I heard the message loud and clear that I was a sinner and I was headed to hell, and my only hope was repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. And I heeded the call and was saved by the good grace of God in May of 2000. But then about 12 months later, in October of 2001, I got another call into the ministry. And if we're going to talk about, I'm trying to be careful about using the word feeling too much, but the feeling that came with conviction when I was lost, it was a very similar feeling when God was impressing me and pushing me and calling me into the ministry. Amen. It was a calling. It wasn't my pastor calling me into the ministry. It wasn't my parents. It wasn't the church. It came from God. It's a sovereign call. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, it says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It's God that does the calling, whether it be to salvation or whether it be to service. Would you go with me, if you hold your place there in 1 Kings 19, don't lose it, we'll be coming back. But if you take your Bible and turn with me to 1 Samuel, notice three things about this sovereign call. Three things, we notice it in 1 Samuel chapter 16 in regards to David's call to be anointed king. Three things about this sovereign call. The first thing is it's contrary to human reasoning. Contrary to human reasoning. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. You know, when Samuel was there looking to anoint the next king, he went through the sons of Jesse, and well, he got to Eliab and he said, surely this is the man. I mean, look at him. Wow. But God's call to the throne was contrary to human reasoning. Everyone looked perhaps upon Eliab and said, oh yes, he would be the man. But the man was the youngest, the ruddiest, with the worst little pointless job out looking after the sheep. That was God's man. And it was contrary to human reasoning. And if you look at some of the men that have been called into the service of God, it goes completely contrary to human reasoning. You would think you would go to the universities and pull the A-grade students out of the universities to be the greatest orators and preachers and teachers of the scriptures if you were to base it on human reasoning. But it's not based on human reasoning. God's calling is contrary to human reasoning. Secondly, it's conditioned upon the heart response. Notice in verse 7, 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, or the size of his beard, because I have refused..." It doesn't say that in there, but you can put that in if you want. "Because I have refused him, or his education, or his intellectual ability." It's got nothing to do with it. "Because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." God's sovereign call is conditioned upon the heart response. But thirdly, it's characterized by heavenly recognition. And notice that in verse 12. "And he sent and brought him..." So we're talking about David. He's been out there with the sheep. He called him, and he sent and brought him. "Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he." My point is this: God knew who he wanted. God knew he didn't want Eliab, he didn't want any of the others, he wanted David. And when David stepped in, he said, anoint this one, this is the one I'm wanting. That's him. That's him. So go back with me to 1 Kings 19. We see Elisha's call was a sovereign call. It wasn't called by Elijah or anybody else, he was called by God. But notice, secondly, it's a surprising call. Notice it in verse 19. "So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him." Now, do you reckon when Elisha got up that morning and had his 15 Weet-Bix or whatever he had, do you think when he was sitting there eating breakfast that he knew God was going to call him into the ministry that day? Do you think he knew that Elijah was going to pass by and cast his mantle upon him that day? It doesn't seem so. He wasn't sitting there waiting for him. He was just out with the 12 oxen ploughing in the field, faithfully doing what he was supposed to do. He was busy about doing his business, doing what he needed to do, and he got a surprising call. The prophet of God came by and cast the mantle upon him, and he was called surprisingly. And my experience is that, and we can't base everything on an experience, but we do have experiences, don't we? And I wasn't looking to be a preacher or be in the ministry. Let me take a step back. I wasn't even looking to be a Christian when God saved me. I didn't want to be a Christian. Christians were hypocrites. That was my thought, my thinking, but God called me out of that into salvation. And then I was very content, very happy, just being saved and setting up the hall and cleaning the hall and out street witnessing and just doing what I could do. And I was happy with that, and I was happy working the job I had. And that, but then the call came out of nowhere. It was a surprising call. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. Hold your place there in 1 Kings. We'll be back. Have a look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, not only is the call sometimes surprising to the individual, but the people that God calls is often surprising. Why would God call a man that's ploughing in the field? What's so special about a man ploughing in the field? Again, he didn't go to Alexandria, he didn't go to the libraries, he didn't go to the universities, he didn't go... No. He went and found a man that was just ploughing in the field. Amen. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. What a wonderful thing. Amen. It's a surprising thing who God calls into the ministry. And he called Elisha from plowing in the field. He called him to be one of the greatest prophets of God. And if you look at the preachers down through history, not all of them, some of them have been very intellectual, very educated, grown up in godly homes and a great Christian heritage. And you look at that and you say, no wonder God could use them so mightily. But then there's others that God has called and you just stand back and shake your head and say, how could God use someone like that? It's a surprising call. If you think about Paul in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15 and 16, you think about his calling and what his main calling was. It says here in Galatians 1 and verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Paul, of all people, Paul, the most zealous Pharisee on earth of his day, God called him to preach to the heathen. Now, you'd go get a heathen to preach to the heathen, but God got a Pharisee and sent him to the heathen because that's how God works. It's against human reasoning. And so we need to be really careful when God has his hand upon someone and God calls someone into the ministry, you better be really careful about saying, well, he shouldn't be doing that. He fits over here. It's not your place to do that. You better just take your hands off it and leave it alone. The calling of God is a sovereign call. It's a surprising call. And then back in our text in 1 Kings 19, the third thing I'd like you to notice is it's a supreme call in verse 20. Notice what it says in verse 20. So it's the calling of Elisha, a sovereign call, a surprising call, and thirdly this morning, a supreme call. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? A supreme call. This call that Elisha got was more important than anything else. It was more important than the 12 oxen. It was more important than the harvest. It was more important than planting the seed. It was more important than his parents. It was more important than his career. It was more important than his bank account. It was more important than his dreams and aspirations for life. It was a supreme call above everything else. In Ephesians 4 and verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. The call that we have, not only to salvation, the call of being a Christian, that's a supreme call, isn't it? What a wonderful thing that God would call someone like you to be his child. What a supreme call. And being a Christian ought to be more important to you. That calling, the calling to be a Christian, ought to be more important to you. It should be the supreme calling in your life, above everything. But then you think about the calling to service and the calling to ministry. That is as well a supreme call, a calling above all other things. And surely we are to walk worthy, worthy of the vocation of being the saints of God. Hold your place, but find, if you would please, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're thinking about the fact that it's a supreme call. And when we think of the call of salvation, or if we think of the call to service, brethren, we need to be reminded that there was a high price paid for your soul. And there was a high price paid for my soul. And no matter what God calls you to do, it's a little thing in comparison to what Jesus has done for you. A little thing. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it. But if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. I'd like you to notice verse 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. I'm not to be the servant of my mum and dad and what they want. I'm not to be the servant of what, I want to say this carefully and respectfully, and there's caveats all over, I'm not to be the servant that my pastor wants me to be, or my church wants me to be, although they are over me and watch over my soul and all those things. We understand the balance there. We don't need to be renegade and rogue in that sense. We need to be accountable. We all need to be accountable. We all need to be accountable to a pastor. We all need to be accountable to a church. That is God's pattern. Not a one of us are above that. But that being said, Christ is the one that died for me. It's His blood that purchased my redemption. It's that price that has bought my salvation. And no matter what He calls me to, whether it be to Christianity and to be His child, or whether it to be some kind of special service in the ministry, it's a little thing. Whatever it costs, it's a little thing in comparison to the price that was paid for your eternal soul and my eternal soul. Don't ever forget the high price that was paid for your redemption. So, you know, Elisha was plowing, and you know, he may have had, he had at least 12 oxen, and he had a field, and he had a farm, he had whatever he had things going on there. But none of that was more important than the mantle that was thrown upon him that day. He laid all that aside and said, I'm going to follow God. Because it was a supreme call. Fourthly, this morning, back in our text in 1 Kings chapter 19, I want you to notice that this call was separating. In verse 21, notice it. Elisha's call was separating. And he returned back from him. So he turned back from Elijah, and he took a yoke of oxen. He took his oxen and he slew them. I wonder what his dad thought about that. Boiled their flesh with the instruments. He didn't only kill the oxen, but then he boiled their flesh, and what he used to boil their flesh, what he used to create the fire, was the yoke and the instruments and everything that had him yoked to that old lifestyle and that old career and that old passions and desires and plans. He burned it up. He said, I'm going to take the oxen, I'm going to take the instruments and the equipment and make a fire, I'm going to kill the oxen, I'm going to boil the oxen on it, I'm done. I'm never coming back. I'm done. I've got my calling, I've got my supreme calling from my sovereign, and I'm going to be busy about doing that, and I'm never coming back to this old way of life. So in verse 21, he boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Elisha, he was set apart for a purpose. He had a call upon his life because God had a purpose for him. He left home, he left his family, he left his lifestyle, he left his career, he left his ambitions, he left it all and went after the Lord. He burnt his bridges behind him. And when God calls you into special service, when God calls you into the ministry, it's not a part-time call. He's not calling you to do something for, well, until you get sick of it. Well, until it gets hard. No, if God's called you into the ministry, he's called you into the ministry. If God has laid his hand upon you to preach his word, that his hand is upon you to preach his word. And we see with Elisha that he separated himself from all else and followed God. Now we balance that with Paul. Paul did a bit of tent making and he did what he needed to do to make ends meet and he did what he needed to do. But Paul's purpose of living wasn't making tents. Paul's passion wasn't making tents. Paul's passion was preaching the gospel and preaching to the heathen and being the witness he ought to be and fulfilling the call. And he did a few things on the side so he had something to eat and some clothes to wear. Do you understand? But his passion and his purpose, he was separated under that ministry. Romans 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated under the gospel of God. Galatians 1 and verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. When God calls you into the ministry, when God called Elisha into the ministry, and if God calls you into the ministry, he's separating you from the normal for a higher purpose. A higher purpose. What a supreme calling. What a supreme purpose. Elisha was plowing in the field, but then he got a call to be the prophet of God. What an incredible thing. He couldn't be the prophet of God he needed to be if he kept plowing. Is there anything wrong with plowing? Not even a little bit. It's a good thing. Hard work, working hard. God's not going to call a lazy man into the ministry. Not going to do it. That's why he called Elisha. He called Elisha because Elisha was busy working. He wasn't sitting around playing video games and Xbox and all the rest of it like 35-year-old men do, 35-year-old boys do in 2022. Right. Why is God going to call you into the ministry if you're sitting around playing video games? Right. He's not going to do that. No, God's going to call a man that's not afraid of work, and Elisha wasn't, but he separated him from that work for a higher calling. Fifthly, this morning, I'd like you to notice with this calling of Elisha, and we notice it in verse 21, that it was a calling of, I'm going to use the word subordination. Subordinating, submission, whatever, put whatever word you want in. Notice what it says in verse 21. And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah, notice the statement, and ministered unto him. Elisha's call was a call to minister to Elijah. That's where he started. He didn't just step out to be the prophet of God. God didn't just take him from the pew and make him the pastor straight away. God just didn't throw him straight on the mission field. No, God called him from that plow and made him the minister of the prophet of God. He subordinated himself, he submitted himself under Elijah, and he ministered to the man of God. This is a really, and it's something that, and I'm Australian, so I'm going to say it. It's something that we as Australians, we really struggle with. And it's a real detriment to our churches. And I think it's one of the reasons why we see so many young men that say they're called to the ministry, they put up their hand to preach, they might even go to Bible college, but then they don't go on. And a lot of times the reason they don't go on, whether they go to Bible college or whether they stay under their local church, and I think that's the better way to do it myself, just personally, but they get sick of being under the pastor. They get sick of ministering when that's what the call is. It's a call to minister. And if you can't minister to the minister, you can't be in the ministry. You've got to be able. Elisha would never have become the prophet of God if he got sick of ministering to the man of God. Wouldn't have happened. Have a look in 2 Kings. Go with me to 2 Kings. Now, Elisha's ministry here, it's not the most flattering ministry. If you notice it, Elisha's ministry, he started out, he got called. He was plowing, he was doing his own thing. And now notice what he's doing. 2 Kings chapter 3, notice verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." You know what Elisha was known for to start with? Oh, he just helped the man of God wash his hands. That's what he was known for. He poured the water on Elijah's hands. He helped the preacher wash his hands. He ministered to Elijah. He wasn't doing all these incredible miracles. He didn't get all the big messages, and he wasn't the great man of God, and he wasn't the prophet of God. And all the... He was known by the people as the man that poured the water on the prophet's hands. Not very flattering. But you know what? If he hadn't learned to humble himself and submit himself under Elijah, and just, what a mundane job. Go to the well, get some water. Preacher needs to wash his hands. Well, I thought when God called me to preach, well, I didn't think I'd be having to wash the preacher's hands, I tell you. You know, I thought I'd have respect to the congregation, and I thought I'd get this opportunity to preach, and I'd be able to do this, and I'd be able to do that. And that's the zeal of a young man, right? We understand that, and good to have zeal and enthusiasm and all those things, but you better taper that with humility and learn to submit yourself under the man of God like Elisha did. Because that's what the call to preach, that's what the call to ministry is. It's a call. If you can't submit to the man of God, you're not going to be able to submit to God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." Do you remember the centurion in Matthew chapter 8? One of his servants was sick. I was going to go there, but for sake of time, we won't. There was a centurion in Matthew chapter 8, and he came to Jesus because one of his servants was sick. And the centurion said to the Lord, "Look, you just tell me what I need to say, and I'll say it, and he'll be healed." And the Lord Jesus said, "Man, I haven't seen this kind of faith. What is this?" And the reason he said, because he said this, he made this statement. The centurion made this statement in Matthew 8 and verse 9. "For I am a man under authority." That centurion, he had soldiers under him. He was in authority. But the only reason he was in authority is because he had learned to be under authority. And if you cannot learn to be under authority, you can never be in authority. Well, you can, but you won't do it well. So we see with Elisha's call to the ministry, it's a sovereign call, a surprising call, a supreme call, a separating call, a subordinating call, And just a couple of things in conclusion. What we got a couple of minutes? Three things in conclusion, three things in how Elisha responded to the call. Number one, he was prompt in obeying. And we see that in verse 19 and verse 20 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 19, verse 19 and 20. So he departed thence, found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12, and Elijah passed by him, cast his mantle upon him, and he left the oxen. He was prompt in obeying. He just obeyed. And if you get the call, if God calls you, you need to be prompt in obeying. Verse 21, we see he was patient in training. And we see that down in this verse 21, he was just pouring water on the prophet's hands. And if you've been called into the ministry, can I just encourage you just to be patient? And I feel like a hypocrite, and Brother Buddy's probably sitting there rolling his eyes and thinking, well, I wish he had listened to some of this about 20 years ago when he was here. And I do. Like, as I've gone through this, I'm thinking, boy, you know, I wish I had have known this better, and I wish I had have done things better. I wish I had have appreciated Brother Buddy better, and Brother AJ, and Brother Al, and Brother Roo, and Brother Jeff, and the pastors the Lord allowed me to be under. But be patient in training. But we notice, go to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 14, and this is the last thing, and we'll finish. So he was prompt in obeying, patient in training, but the result of all that, in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 14, he was powerful in serving. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Elisha had power in his serving because he promptly obeyed and he was patient in training. And patient in training is one of the most important things. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. As we close this morning, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What a blessing to be called to be a Christian. What a blessing to be called to be a preacher of God. But may we make our calling, every one of us as the children of God, may we be diligent to make our calling and election sure. If you don't, you'll still get to heaven, but you may not have an abundant entrance. I want an abundant entrance. Paul wanted an abundant entrance. Paul wanted Timothy to have an abundant entrance. And the Lord Jesus wants you to have an abundant entrance into heaven and not a poverty-stricken entrance into heaven. Saved yet so as by fire. You don't want to be saved yet so as by fire. That's saved by the skin of your teeth. That's what that is. Saved by the skin. Don't you want some crowns? I want some crowns because I want something to lay at Jesus' feet. But if we don't make our calling and election sure, we won't. Lord, we ask your blessing on our time this morning. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.